I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. live from the Auto Forum Studios, and we are gearing up for what's going to be a very interesting weekend of college football. In fact, tomorrow night right here on KOAL, we will bring you live play-by-play coverage as the Utah Utes travel on the road to take on the BYU Cougars in the Holy War, to open up the 2019 season. Joining us over the phone right now, we have John Kuhn. He is a writer with the Associated Press and also Athlon Sports. He covers both Utah and BYU, and he put together an excellent preview that you can read at Athlon Sports, and you can also follow him at John Kuhn Sports on Twitter. John, it is a pleasure to get you on the show today. Thanks for joining us to talk some Utah and BYU football.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody is looking forward to tomorrow night's game. Really, when you break it down, it's two schools, two teams coming in from opposite ends of the spectrum. And I want to begin with BYU. They seem like they're kind of at a crossroads. I know that there was some momentum built last year in the Idaho Potato Bowl as they picked up a win. Zach Wilson looked good, set some school records. Expectations seem to be a little bit higher for this BYU team. And for someone that has followed the squad throughout the offseason, does it have a different vibe around this year's football team compared to the last two?
There's a lot of cautious optimism in Provo. Zach Wilson came off that incredible performance in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl where he set a school record of 18 passes completed without an incompletion. He's looking sharp. He seems like he's comfortable in the offense. He told me a while back when I interviewed him that he had studied film of specific NFL quarterbacks in the offseason. Also had a chance to work out with Drew Brees, which is pretty cool. And he seems like he's really confident, like he's really ready to take a step forward. And honestly, BYU's fortunes rise and fall on how Zach Wilson's going to perform at quarterback.
I agree with that 100%. I think going into tomorrow night's game, I mean, Utah is going to have a very stout defensive line, maybe some inexperience in the middle, and we can talk about that in just a moment. But how he handles the pressure is going to be key in this game tomorrow night against the Utes. Also, though, when we're talking BYU's offense, we'll get a chance to see Tyson Williams. And I know that BYU fans were excited to see an SEC graduate transfer come over. He was just under that 800-yard mark last season. I think he touched pay dirt five or six times, if I remember right. So they do have a potential playmaker coming out of the backfield. And again, a kid that is familiar with a lot of stout defenses. That's what the SEC is known for. How much pressure's on Tyson Williams, considering that he's going to have to alleviate a lot of the pressure off of Zach Wilson?
I think there's a lot on his shoulders to kind of prove that he has the goods. I mean, this is why BYU brought Williams in. This is why they pursued him heavily as a grad transfer. He gives them a versatile back who, like you say, has faced those SEC defenses. He's used to seeing tough defensive lines. He's used to pounding the ball. One of the concerns about him is that he has a little bit of an injury history. He missed a few games last year with South Carolina because of a hand injury. But when he's on the field and healthy, he has shown that he can bounce to the outside. He can run up the middle. He can get you those yards. And really, BYU needs somebody that can get him at least a few yards against Utah's defensive line, which is the reason why Utah had the top rush defense in the Pac-12 last year. If they can't even get a few yards to keep the ball, keep the Utes honest on that side of the ball, they can just tee off and go after Zach Wilson all game.
Now, I know you did talk a little bit about this in your preview on Athlon Sports about the game tomorrow, but there are concerns with BYU, specifically in the secondary on the defensive side of the football. They were bit by the injury bug a little bit in fall camp. Not something that's going to bode well for this defense. How does BYU look from a depth perspective right now on the opposite side of the football?
The depth is a little thin in the secondary. I mean, Troy Warner and Chris Wilcox aren't expected to play. They weren't on the depth chart this week. And losing two experienced defensive backs like that hurts against a team like Utah, where you have a legitimate deep threat in Jalen Dixon that emerged last season. You have legit deep threats in Brian Thompson and Solomon Enos, who are expected to emerge this season. You've got guys like DeMar Simpkins and Brayton Covey who can make plays as well. And so they're going to be tested. And I think Utah, you know, as much as they are a run-first team and they won't be getting plenty of touches to Zach Moss, they are going to test that secondary. They are going to make BYU prove that they can stop those deep threats and stop those receivers from making plays downfield.
Again, our guest right now is John Kuhn, writer with the Associated Press and also Athlon Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at John Kuhn Sports as we preview tomorrow night's contest between Utah and BYU. Again, live coverage will begin right here on KOAL at 7:15, and then Bill Riley will bring you the play-by-play call at 8:15. John, let's move over to the Utah Ute side of things. High expectations. In fact, many would say this is the best team on paper since Utah entered the Pac-12. Now, with that being said, I am of the mindset that this team has to have some consistency at the quarterback spot. That's been a problem since this team went to the Sugar Bowl and beat Alabama almost a decade ago. And so when you look at what they have at quarterback, Tyler Huntley, a kid that we have had an opportunity to watch for the last few years, if he doesn't stay healthy, I'm not as high on Utah as many of the pundits would be. So I'm not saying that the season, it rides squarely on Tyler Huntley, but the quarterback spot has just been a shaky position for the better part of a decade now, and that would worry me if I was a Utah U fan.
Well, you know, the thing that is concerning with Tyler Huntley is that he does have a history of getting injured. He missed both years that he's started so far. He's missed games or been limited in games because of serious injuries. Mm-hmm. Obviously missed last season because of a broken collarbone. That being said, Utah's new offense under Andy Ludwig is more under center. It's more designed to take some of the load off of Tyler Huntley, so he's not doing the RPO as much. And I think if they can find a way to keep him healthy, he can do big things in this offense. I mean, he's an accurate passer. He can make plays with his legs, and you've seen last year when he was clicking, when he was, you know, just dialed into the offense. They had that 4-game stretch in October where they went on a tear in the Pac-12, you know, beat USC, beat UCLA, beat Stanford, beat Arizona, and they were averaging, you know, over 40 points a game in all those victories. And so the potential is there, and I think it does help that Jason Shelley has some experience, but the concern you have if Jason Shelley's thrust into a bigger role is whether or not there will be diminishing returns like there were last year as he faced tougher defenses against Washington in the Pac-12 championship game and Northwestern in the Holiday Bowl.
Well, certainly. And as far as the options on the outside go for Huntley or Shelley or whoever is under center for the Utes as we get deeper into the season, a lot of experience coming back in the outside, plenty of weapons to throw to.
Oh, yeah. The biggest thing for Utah is that Brayton Covey is going to be available on Thursday. Coach Willingham confirmed that Monday in his weekly press conference that both him and Zach Moss will be there on Thursday. and they're both atop the depth chart. And really, they need Covey there because he was their top playmaker at receiver. I mean, he's shifty, he's versatile, he can do a lot of things. It really opens the things up for the guys on the outside. And you do have those outside threats. Jalen Dixon was very impressive last season. I expect big things from him again this year. Brian Thompson's one to watch out for. He had some trouble with injuries last year and got limited playing time, but he's healthy this year. He's back to 100% in that regard, and so you're going to really see him blossom and step out, I think.
We know two things for sure. A Kyle Whittingham team is going to have a potent defense, and they're going to be fantastic on special teams. Maybe some more question marks this year on special teams than in the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. But when I look at that defensive unit, very strong up front, in the middle of the field, you have to replace a couple of standouts in Chase Hansen and Cody Barton. But the secondary looks very good as well. The difference in this game for me, John, and this is why I pick Utah to win, and I believe they will cover the spread, which I believe is at 5.5 right now. I believe that defensive front, which is just loaded for the Utes, will put enough pressure on Wilson to force him to make mistakes, and that's why I'm taking Utah to win this game. That defensive front has the capability of being very special for the Utes this season.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it's rare when you have the top rush defense in the Pac-12 and then return your entire two deep on the defensive line the following year. But that's exactly what happened with Utah. You know, Bradley and I, Lucky Fotu, both had opportunities to go to the NFL. They would have been early round draft picks. They both passed on it and decided they wanted to come back and try and get an outright Pac-12 title this year. And that's really the goal of this entire team, and that defensive line, they're dialed in. They want to make a statement. They want to prove something to everybody. And it's crazy when you think that they're even more dialed in than last year, when you consider that seven opponents last year were held under 100 rushing yards by Utah. And that just underscores how difficult it's going to be for BYU to run the ball against them on Thursday, and really how difficult it's going to be for a lot of teams to run the ball on them in the weeks ahead. I mean, Utah, I would not be surprised, assuming the defensive line stays healthy and they don't have major attrition because of injuries, I would not be surprised to see them lead the Pac-12 in rush defense again this year. And there's a good possibility they could lead in total defense and scoring defense. That defense is that good.
I know the expectations are sky high. Of course, Lee Corso picking the Utes to go to the national championship game this past weekend. It got people throughout the entire state of Utah talking. So, John, two more questions for you before I let you go, and they're extremely simple. If Utah, in fact, loses tomorrow night and runs the table, is that enough for the selection committee to put them into the playoffs, or is this a make-it-or-break-it game for Utah and their playoff hopes this season?
Honestly, a lot of that hinges on how BYU's season plays out if they were to beat Utah. I told somebody the other day when they asked me about this that if Utah has a loss on their record, or even two losses on their record when it comes time for the college football playoff selection, it's going to matter who they lose to as much as anything else. I mean, it's the same case in the Pac-12. If you have, say, a loss to Washington and they have a decent season, that's going to look better than, say, having a loss to Arizona or Oregon State. And ultimately, with any loss, yeah, if they were to somehow lose to BYU Thursday, but then they run the table, well, if BYU ends up, you know, winning 9 games or 10 games as a result, then it's not going to look too bad.
Last question, we'll move to BYU. Kalani Sitake buys himself another year, regardless of what happens the remainder of the season, if BYU does in fact get a win tomorrow night.
You know, I think with Kalani, it kind of hinges on what the state of the team is at the halfway point. I mean, he's going to have a little bit of leeway, you know, in September because BYU starts out with a pretty rugged schedule. After Utah, they're going to Tennessee. Then they come home back-to-back weeks against USC and Washington. And then they have road games after that at Toledo, at South Florida. You know, they've traditionally had trouble in Florida, and Toledo's favorite in the Mid-American Conference. And then later on, they have games against Boise State and Utah State. So it's a pretty rugged schedule. And I think as long as BYU comes through that first eight games at 500, I think Kalani's safe for another year. If they come through those first eight with, like, you know, maybe a couple wins, he might be feeling some heat.
John Kuhn, again, of the Associated Press and also Athlon Sports. John, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Certainly, you can check out my articles at Athlon Sports. You can also go to collegefootball.ap.org, collegebasketball.ap.org to get my latest Utah BYU articles. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm always posting links to them there.
And that Twitter handle is @JohnKuhnSports. John, a pleasure to get you on. Enjoy the contest tomorrow night. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.